this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Would you pray with me? Oh God of love, we thank you for the ways we have been able to express our love to you this day. The gift of song, the gift of baptism and celebration with our sisters in Christ, the gift of prayer and offering. And Lord, now we open our ears and our hearts to hear from you. Would you speak to us what you will and send us out to be what you want us to be and to do what you want us to do. Father, we are here and we are all ears for you. Draw near, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In my 31 years on this earth, I have run into my fair share of walls. Literally, and not so literally. When I traveled to the Holy Land back in college, I was struck with this massive wall that separates the West Bank from Israel. And this wall in Israel, it's no joke. In some places, it is 10 feet wide, 26 feet tall. It was constructed by Israel to protect their citizens from Palestinian attacks. And it just so happens that Bethlehem and Jerusalem, though only a few miles apart, happen to lie on different sides of the wall. To go to Bethlehem, you have to enter into Palestinian territory. To get back to Jerusalem, you have to go through all sorts of security checkpoints and pass all kinds of tests to make sure you're worthy of entry into the holiest place. To this day, things are very complicated between the place where Jesus was born and the place where he died. Fear and mistrust keeps people apart, who so long ago Jesus said he came to bring together. It's at least a little bit ironic, that's for sure. When I went to China last summer, I spent one morning walking around on the Great Wall of China. That wall is somewhere between 6,000 and 13,000 miles long, some parts of it dating back to the 7th century BC. That's a long time ago. It was meant to control, meant for protection, to let the Chinese people know who was coming in, and so they could let in who they wanted to let in and keep out who they wanted to keep out. It can be a scary world out there whenever you have real enemies. And so you build up a wall. It's nothing new. Been happening since long before Christ. At Texas A&M University, sitting outside of the entrance of the George H.W. Bush Library, I ran into a huge piece of the Berlin Wall, that place. Again, another sign of a barrier that separates those who think and live differently from each other. Another sign that they simply can't do life together. Walls. Walls. It seems that everywhere we are running into walls. And for the most part, if we think about it, all these different walls in different countries, different places, they all really seem to come from the same source. And I think that source is primarily fear. It's fear that someone or something is seeking to threaten my life. fear that there is someone or something out there that is more powerful than I am. So I must keep a healthy distance from them or from it. Fear. Fear of pain. Fear of loss. Fear of failure. Fear of change. Fear of humiliation. It could be any of these. But can't we all agree that most walls seem to be a product of some kind of fear? Run into my fair share of walls. And when I come to think of it, I've also been busy building up some walls in my life. I moved to a brand new school when I was in second grade, and I was immediately teased by a boy in my class named Philip. I can still picture him very well. He would put pencils between his desk and my desk so they wouldn't touch, so he might not get my cooties. It's funny now, but when I was six, it was not so funny. It hurt my feelings. And I told the teacher and I told my parents about Philip and what he was doing to me, and their natural response was to just ignore him and to find some new friends. And I did. And I began to realize it's safer to only like people who liked me and to only invest in people who invested in me. And for the most part, to more or less ignore the others, not bother with them at all. In high school, the tables turned a bit, and it turned out that Philip was one of those kids who was teased by lots and lots of people. And my 16, 17-year-old self never did a thing to help him because a wall had been built in that relationship long before. Whenever I drive across town as a child with my family and my friends, I would notice that they would lock the doors whenever we would cross over a certain street and enter into another part of town. And without knowing it, I built up a wall that said that people who were different than me were somehow out to get me, a wall that separated black from white and rich from poor. Before I even had eyes to see the difference, I had the very first bricks of this wall shaping up quite nicely. All the while, I found that I was building up walls with the people out there. I was also busy building up walls with the people in here. In the church, I had a family that had been through their fair share of messy stuff, and as a young child, I saw people who were hurting in church, and I watched as my own mother would cry through many of the worship, the song section of worship services. Tears would come week after week after week, and I watched as week after week after week, no one ever walked up to her or gave her a shoulder to cry on. How she never had words to articulate where those tears were coming from, at least not in the presence of the church. And somehow I learned that you just don't bring your mess and your hurts into church, that it makes people uncomfortable, that it kind of ruins the mood. It might lead to some judgment. And so I built up a wall that said nice clothes and nice smiles and church go over here, and brokenness and real shame and regret goes over there. Don't let them mix, because things could get a little bit messy. It's just not safe. And all the while, I was stacking and stacking and stacking this wall. And if the people out there, if they weren't immune to my walls, and if the people in here in the church weren't immune to my walls, then it's surely no surprise that eventually God wasn't so immune to my walls either. I remember, again, as a child, we'd have missionaries come to our church and speak, and they always wore really strange clothes, and they would say really strange things to try to sound impressive, and then they would show us about 200 too many slides of a really strange hut in some desert in some foreign land, and they would say to some effect, "Don't ever tell God that you don't want to go live in a hut in Africa, or God's going to have you go live in a hut in Africa." Ever heard that one? And I, for one, did not want to live in a hut in Africa. And so I never told God I didn't want to live in a hut in Africa. Instead, it just turned out that I didn't really ask God much of what he wanted at all. Somehow I learned in those moments that I just simply couldn't trust God with my heart, that he only wanted to use me. And so I began to get really busy doing good works for him, works that I could name and that I could call and that I could control. But I was keeping all along my heart from him. If he had it, he might just take me very far from my family, from my security. He might even take me someplace a little bit scary. My heart couldn't handle the risk, so I built up a wall, working all the time for God, but not really willing to work with God. Yes, I've run into some walls, and I've built up my fair share of walls as well, haven't we all, when we begin to think of it? And isn't that the very thing that makes a passage like 1 John 4 so shocking? This text, it points us to a God who has never much cared for walls at all. In the very first days, if we remember, we know that he made man and woman to be with him, unhindered, face to face in the garden. And after that first sin, when we read Genesis 3, we hear God coming into the garden and he's roaming. He's looking for them, looking for some unhindered fellowship with those that he created, with those that he loves. And he can't find them because Adam and Eve are hiding behind the bushes in their own makeshift wall before any wall had been created at all. They were ashamed and they were afraid. From that moment on, there would be an issue with walls between God and the people of God. When God meets Moses on Mount Sinai, you remember the people are instructed not to touch the mountain, so much so that this great cloud of smoke makes a wall around it, separating God from his people. But even then, Moses is allowed to come on back. He's allowed to stand in the presence of God, and he's so changed by it that he comes out with a face that is shining. And the light is so powerful, the others can't even look at him without falling over dead. So they put a cloak over his face. God's wall of protection. But even still, there was one invited in. And the message he carried out told all that God wanted to be near them too. How he wished there could be a way. Then we've got the tabernacle. We've got the temple. Both specific places for God to dwell, so his people might know where to find him, and only certain ones could enter in and be near him. But even in those, even in the tabernacle, even in the temple, the prophets and the priests who would enter God's presence would come out with a message from God for all the people of God. Even then, there was a hint that this wall was not meant to be. There was a sense that God somehow preferred showing up where he wanted, how he wanted. Like that cloud and that fire that was seen by all of Israel in the desert. Like that voice and the sheer silence that met Elijah on the mountainside when he least expected it. Like that fire that caught Moses' attention from the burning bush. Like he turns up again and again, temple or tabernacle, doesn't matter. He shows up knocking at Abraham's door. It's dinner time. Pull up a chair for me. Turns out that we have a God who doesn't so much prefer being holed up in the Holy of Holies, just waiting for one day a year when one of his people might come and might be with him. There are walls around. But it seems clear in all of Scripture that God never found much comfort or much pleasure in those walls. So eventually, as 1 John 4 says, in chapter 4 and verse 9 says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son in the world so we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also must love one another. These verses tell us of a God who stepped over and stepped through every wall that divided us from him and that divided us from one another. This text, it echoes John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was from God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. I love how the message translates John chapter 1. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God loved us so much that that he didn't just send down Hallmark cards that said, I love you, XOXOXO God. He didn't do that. But he loved us so much that he broke through every wall that we had built, and he moved directly into our neighborhood. He became one of us. He chose to be a part of our world, even though we could never on our own be worthy of his. This, 1 John 4 says, is love. With one action, with one intentional move toward those who were enemies and those who were far off, God shattered the walls that were built around that garden, the walls that were built around that tabernacle, the walls that were built around that temple, and all those places that said, God is on this side and humankind is on this side. God said, no more. I am moving into your neighborhood because I love you. Scoot over, make some room. He said, I'm moving in. And as Jesus roamed that neighborhood, one of his very favorite sermons to give was a sermon to the Pharisees, those expert wall makers, those ones who were so afraid of offending God that they made walls around his laws as if they weren't constrictive enough. Don't work on the Sabbath, the law said. And the Pharisees said, just to be safe, let's not even bend over and pick up a piece of grain on the Sabbath. Even if we're walking in a field, even if we're hungry, let's not do that, lest it be called harvesting and God gets mad and we die. As he came to these expert wall architects, Jesus would say, people, be free. These laws, these walls, they're not going to save you. He would say, knock them down. The very thing that you think is keeping you safe is the very thing that is leading to your death. Love God first, Jesus would say. Then let your obedience flow from love, not from fear. There's no real healthy relationship based on fear, because as 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love. As Jesus roamed in our neighborhoods, he loved to approach those who had walls built up against them, those who were told again and again that they were too unclean, they were too corrupt, too much of an outsider to be with God. And with one touch of a leper, with one dignifying conversation with a Samaritan, with one pardon of a woman caught in adultery, with one embrace of a small child, they all watched as those walls that had been built around them came tumbling down too. Could it be, they would say, that God is for everyone? Could it be that God is for me? Brick by brick, the walls came down between the people and their God, because God made a choice and God intentionally moved into their neighborhood. It's like he didn't even see that they had built up walls between him and them at all, completely unfazed. And brick by brick, as people were invited into the presence of their God, walls between them and their enemies, they had to come down too. Before they knew it, those who were once enemies of God, now saved by the love of God, were called to acknowledge their enemies and to love them. They were called to break down walls. The God who roamed the neighborhood soon had his own people declaring, there is no longer Jew nor Gentile. There is no longer slave nor free, no longer male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And as they declared this to be true, apostles began to eat in the homes of the uncircumcised, the very people that they had feared, even refused to make eye contact with days before. Men and women, they worshiped side by side in house churches, no longer relegated to inner courts and outer courts and more outer courts. Slaves and free, they were seen as the same, slaves as people of value and worth, free as people under a master themselves. With one piece of broken bread here, with one invite to worship there, With one healer begged here, with one Gentile offered the gospel story there, walls came tumbling down. As believers moved intentionally toward the very ones they had feared the most, walls came tumbling down. They were learning that there is no fear in love. And as that God still roams, even here and even now, the people saved by his love can still be heard proclaiming, there is no longer black nor white. There is no longer citizen nor immigrant nor refugee. No longer blue collar nor white collar. No longer Republican nor Democrat. Educated nor uneducated. There's no longer Bible church nor Catholic church nor our church. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And as they declare that to be true, they move toward those people who have always been apart. They intentionally move into their neighborhood. And with the breaking of bread here, and with an invite to worship there, and with the offer to hear another story and to stand in his shoes, walls still come tumbling down today. And with each brick that falls, a little bit of love finds its way sneaking in. With each brick that falls, God has more room than God has had before to truly abide with us, with his people. That's why verse 16 says, so we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Says, remember, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love because he first loved us. The commandment from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and their sisters also. Yes, I've run into some walls, and I have built plenty of walls on my own. And by the grace and love of God, I'm here to share this morning that I have also seen some walls come tumbling down. One such wall came tumbling down with a call to serve God in the Middle East. To be honest, I was terrified to go, even had nightmares about it. I'd seen the same news stories that you've seen, and I had decided that I was best off keeping a healthy distance from Arabs and from Muslims. They could stay over there, and I would stay over here. And in my college dorm room one night, as I was in prayer, I so clearly heard God saying, Jamie, I want you to go to the Middle East. And I prayed to God that night and said, God, I'm not at a point yet where I'm willing. I don't even know how to begin to jump over that wall. But God, I'm willing for you to help make me willing. Sometimes that's the first step. 6 months later, I was in Jordan for the summer. 6 months later, and I found myself sitting in a home of a Palestinian refugee family, a mom with her 4 small children. And I sat there and watched as she emptied out her pantry of a week's worth of groceries. And she offered them to me. Please receive this gift from my family to you. You are one of us. And as I sat there and held her children, and as we broke pita bread together, and as I heard her stories of raising a family in a war-torn country, people who have been through more than we could possibly ever imagine, I found that somewhere in this time together, I was no longer afraid of Arabs, no longer afraid of Muslims. They had become my friends, because somehow God had sent me into their neighborhood. And it turned out that a wall came down, and I began to learn that there is no fear in love. In Waco, I spent a couple of years working for a group called Mission Waco. It's a nonprofit there that cares for the poorest in our community. As Mission Waco, at my job there, I was to lead volunteer groups who would come in, and so that had us in homeless shelters and government housing projects day in and day out. And we'd go and simply offer a listening ear, help for basic needs, Bible stories, whatever we could do. Simple compassion is what it came down to. I was intimidated taking on this role. These were the people that I had grown up locking my door whenever I would come into their district. These were the people that I had been told only wanted something from me. Be careful, they can't be your friends. Then one night at the shelter, I sat next to this man named Johnny after the evening chapel service. And as soon as I let my guard down and realized that he didn't just want a handout, that he didn't just want money, that actually what he wanted was a friend and a listening ear, I let my heart calm, and I began to hear a story of a Vietnam vet who saw and experienced more in his first 18 years of life than anyone should ever have to. And he came home unable to process it all, came home unable to care for himself, much less to care for his family, burned more bridges than he could count. And now he was fighting day in and day out just for his life, for sobriety, for some peace. That day, Johnny asked me for only one thing, and that was simply if he came to mind in the days to come, would I offer up a prayer for him? Would I pray that he might get to see his kids and his grandkids one more time? Would I pray that he might even still be able to turn his life around? And from that shelter, we'd go to government housing complexes. And there, we'd play with kids who were being raised in a world that was only blocks from my home, but that felt like another country altogether, a world that I had never fully known. And these families that I had been taught to be fearful of before taught me as I watched them. And 9-year-olds took care of 3-year-olds. Full attention. They were amazing. Cousins looked out for one another, claiming each and every one as their own. Snacks, share with everyone in the crowd before anyone took some for themselves. And I began to see beauty in a place from which my heart had only told me to keep out before. That shelter, those government apartments, they became my neighborhood. Johnny and those little kids, they became my neighbors. And I began to see in my heart a wall was coming down. I was learning that there is no fear in love. And those walls that I built up in the church, the past 4 years, I got to spend Wednesday mornings leading a Bible study with some of the most incredible ladies in the world back in Waco, Texas. About a year and a half into it, I sensed that God was leading us to go deeper in our community with each other, to go deeper in knowing each other and in being known by each other. And so in the messages, I began to open up my heart to the ladies more and more, and it was really scary because I had learned that you don't expose your mess at church. But I had sensed that God was asking me to do just that with them. So slowly I began sharing with these ladies my struggles, some deep struggles. And rather than just pitying me, or rather than judging me, I saw that they began to care for me. And they began to honestly share their struggles with all of us too. And we got to care for them. During a season when I was really struggling with anger and with resentment, I spent a good many weeks in counseling to help find healing from that, to help move forward. And I was scared to tell this to the ladies. Is it okay for a pastor to sometimes need some help too? I wondered. One Wednesday morning, I shared of a way that God was healing me through counseling. And I was overcome to begin hearing these dear friends raise their hand and speak up, opening up about their own journeys toward wholeness and toward healing. It turned out, to our surprise, that we were all in the same boat, and we were all better off for just simply recognizing it and rowing forth together. One story at a time, one genuine prayer at a time, one embrace, one open heart at a time. God was showing us all that church could indeed be a wall free zone, that we could really open up our hearts and our lives to one another, that we could really entrust each other with our dreams and with our hurts, with our celebrations and with our regrets. A wall came down on those Wednesday mornings as we began to learn together that there is no fear in love. And finally, just a few months ago, sitting around a dinner table back in Texas, after making my very initial trip up here in May, I was sitting with two couples who were dear friends, and I was talking with them about the weekend and about all that God was up to here. I shared with them my short time here, how excited I was, how much I sensed that God was in something, that he was up to something, that he was calling me here. And I also shared with them in that moment my sadness about being called so far away from family and from friends. At one point in that conversation, I remember saying to them, I said, you know, I just don't know why God always has to make it so hard. I said, I already followed him to the Middle East. That was scary. And that was hard. And then I followed him into youth ministry. That was even scarier. And that was harder. And I said, and you know, there's got to be gazillions of churches between Waco and Washington. There's got to be thousands that are within driving distance of you guys, of my friends, of my family. Why does God have to always make it so hard? Why so far away? One of my friends spoke up and just asked a simple question, and hearing it changed my heart. He looked at me and he said, and you've regretted those places God has taken you so far. I thought about it and I said, well, no. I said, not a one. I said, in fact, those places God has taken me so far, I wouldn't give them back for the world. They were hard, but they were good. And in those places, I met my God in a way I never would have met him if I had stayed in one place. In those places, God drew near to me when I was so far from anyone else that I knew. I said, I wouldn't give them back for the world. As I thought about it, I realized that perhaps for the first time in my life, I had finally learned that I could trust God with my heart. I don't have to fear his voice and his presence, thinking that his greatest aim in life is to make me do the very thing that I don't want to do. Turns out that God cares about our hearts. And God is calling us, inviting us into what we actually long for the very most. And isn't that intimacy with him and great purpose in this world? And even in the hard, and even in the scary, and even when he sends us crashing right through a wall that we so carefully constructed for self-preservation, we have a God who holds our hearts in his hand. Because our God is love. We need not fear. We need not fear giving all of ourselves, giving our dreams, giving our relationships, giving our shame to him. Because our God is love. And there is no fear in love. This day, I am willing to bet that we all brought some walls into this place with us. Some of these walls, they keep us from trusting God with all of us. Some of these walls keep us from moving toward a people that we know we are called to love. And I do want to claim that some of these walls are necessary for a season. As we heal from past abuse and from broken trust. But many, in fact, most of the walls are not that necessary. May we have the courage to ask our God to expose the unnecessary walls in our life this day. And as he does, may we pull out the hammer and may we start chipping away. One brick at a time, one phone call, one letter, one shared cup of coffee, one prayer, one embrace. May we move into the neighborhood of those we avoid. And may we see those walls begin to crumble before our very eyes. And as they crumble, may we look carefully and begin to see some light shining through. May we begin to see some love creeping in. May we begin to see Jesus moving right in with us, with those abiding with him in love. This work of tearing down walls, it is hard work, for sure. They didn't get there overnight. But it's good work, and it's worth it. And there's no reason to be afraid of it, because tearing down walls is a work of love, and there is no fear in love. So may we pull out our hammers, pull out our crowbars, whatever the tool of choice may be, and may we get to work. We've got a big job to accomplish this day. But with the help of our God, may we begin to see some walls come crumbling down. Would you pray with me? Father God, there was a time when there was a wall, a massive wall between you and between us. And though we could do nothing about it, you walked right through that wall and moved into the neighborhood. You saw us and you chose us, and you decided to dwell among us. You became our friend. You became the one who knew us deeply and loved us just the same. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for tearing down that wall and making your heart and our hearts. And Father, this day, we continue to build up walls between us and you. Give us the courage to see those come crumbling down. And Father, this day, we build up all kinds of walls between ourselves and your people. Give us the courage to move into their neighborhood, to become a friend, and to see those walls come tumbling down as well. We give you thanks for your love, and we claim today that there is no fear in love. What a gift. Because of that, we can go into this world living a life much bigger than ourselves, loving a people who you have loved first. We ask for your help and give you thanks in all of these things. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.